This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So on a sun-soaked 80-degree day in Bloomington, late April, and the rite of spring coming out of winter, time to play for a conference championship in water polo. As first-year head coach Ryan Castle, the 17th-ranked Hoosier women hosting the Collegiate Water Polo Association postseason tournament out at the Councilman Billingsley Aquatic Center this weekend. And action will be getting ready to start. Indiana playing as the fourth seed, and of course, lots at stake. Obviously, this team looking to win for the first time a postseason championship in 3 years, and the prize, a ticket into the NCAA tournament, which, by the way, will be hosted in Indianapolis next month in May, is just around the corner. The squad's lone senior, team captain, center Brownwin Smith, a native Pennsylvanian, and junior Kelly Matthews, Roxborough, Quebec, Canada, the All-American, and again for a third consecutive year in tow, leading the Hoosiers in scoring with 51 goals and 76 points, headed into Friday afternoon's clash with Harvard. So the CBAC will be busy as we wrap up April, and so will the BART. BART Kauffman Stadium, as Chris Lemonis's baseball Hoosiers will host league leader and nationally ranked Maryland. The Terrapins coming in for a three-game set starting Friday night. But tonight, Indiana working on its 22nd win. They're playing baseball at the Vic, Victory Field in Indianapolis against Ball State here in the this beautiful Tuesday early evening. And the back half of the show will be on tape with the skipper prior to tonight's game against the Cardinals. But the Hoosier women, front and center, water polo, right live here in our spotlight as we welcome you to Sports Talk. And we, as we always are on a Tuesday night, we're live from Yogi's, everyone, along with our producers, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanne and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everybody. Joe Smith. And, well, it's a pleasure to finally meet up with Ryan Castle. It's not like he just walked onto campus and started coaching. He was hired to replace the retired Barry King back in July. First time, though, with all the travel and everything, I've had a chance to meet you. Welcome to Yogi's. Welcome to the show. And so far, so good. How's your first season gone along so far, Ryan?
Well, firstly, thanks for having us. First season's been great. It's been an interesting year. We've had some really good highs, some really good wins over the season. We've also gotten to really know our teammates. It's been a lot of fun adapting. Moving from Hawaii to Bloomington has been an interesting adaptation. Yeah. Especially the winters, a little bit colder here than my past, but hey.
That was the first question when you were eating a sandwich. I think that was the first question out of my mouth, so I got to ask it since we're live on the air. What induced you to move back into the Midwest other than taking a hold of a tradition-rich sport that Coach King built from really scratch?
You know, I spent a year out in the Midwest, up north, and I really enjoyed it. When this job came open, I just couldn't say no to it. I mean, it's Indiana, it's renowned all over the world, and when I came on my interview, I was just blown away by, you know, just the atmosphere around Indiana Athletics and Indiana yeah. University. It's just a really special place.
What was the expectation, I guess, coming in? You certainly, the cupboard was not bare. But that being said, I look at your roster. You got seven freshmen, and four of them came on, in the start of the second semester. But you looked at your first program after you kind of organized and got started, Ryan, back in September. What was the expectation? Now you're sitting with 18 wins and hosting the tournament this weekend.
You know, I think the first day when we had our team meeting, I laid out some expectations. And the number one thing is we're always going to be competing no matter what. Doesn't matter what the score is, where we are at the end of the game. We're going to be trying our best to be, you know, always trying to get that extra goal, always trying to get a stop. So that was one of my first introductory meetings, was we're going to be competitive in every aspect of the game. So that was sort of my expectation. I think when we arrived, that was what my assistant Emily and I sort of implemented in practices, was trying to get everybody competing throughout the whole of practice so that when it comes down to the end of the season, everybody's been in a situation where they know what they need to do and they're able to execute under high pressure.
You know, too, and mentioning Emily, that's Emily Carr, you had an opportunity when you brought her here when you got the job, and obviously you coached her out at Hawaii, and she's not too far removed. I mean, I'm looking at her picture. We'll have her on hopefully later in the spring after you win the tournament.
Sure,
get ready
sure.
for the NCAA. We'll bring her on. But that being said, she looks like she fits right in and could hop in the pool tonight.
Yeah, you know, Emily's still in great shape. She graduated 2 years ago. I think that we actually stole her from the Australian Olympic team. I think if she still had ambition, she could still be playing. She's really was a high-level athlete back in her day. As she gets into practices with us, you know, Kelly will attest, so will Bronwyn, she doesn't hold back. She wants to win every scrimmage. And that, you know, that makes our practices competitive. And that's one of the great characteristics that Emily brings, is that it doesn't matter what we're playing, if it's dominoes or something, chess, she wants to win it.
Well, you got to have those kinds, and especially being an assistant coach. Yeah, you talk a little about her being an Australian. Again, a rather diverse group. We'll be talking with Kelly Matthews here in a second. She's from north of the border, a Canadian, but you have a few of those. You have Canadians. It's well put together as you now work on the start of your era.
Yeah, you know, it's Indiana. We want to find the best kids that fit within our program. Doesn't matter where they are, if they come from Kentucky, if they come from China, if they come from Australia or Canada. And I was fortunate enough to walk into a great group of girls who managed to come from all over the world. And we brought in two Australian kids in January, who one of them actually came out on a visit in the fall. And we've just been fortunate enough to find great kids who are really happy and excited to be here at Indiana and to represent the Cream and Crimson.
I'll ask Bronwyn and Kelly in a second, but was there a big change in philosophy offensively, defensively, with the way you do things, your philosophies, as opposed to what had been taught for so many years?
You know, I think they might think that, what we've tried to do is sort of say these are the fundamentals that can apply, and it doesn't matter where you play in the pros, which international. These are the base fundamentals, and then we've got our own schemes and dynamics that we run, which will be new to some of them. So from my side, I think we probably play a little bit more faster, a little bit more motion than we have in the past. In previous years, I would say that Indiana's always been a very center-based program, whereas now we're not really in that position with having a dominant center, so we've sort of gone to more of a motion offense, and I think that's where we're going with our program.
Well, you're going to the opponent's net with high success. Talk a little about your offensive attack. We'll again talk with Kelly. We mentioned right at the top, sitting with 76 total points, but you know, we look here, I look down your roster here, Ryan, and Ryan Castle, the head women's water polo coach, joining us in conversation tonight. I look at some good flexibility here with a lot of women scoring and doing a lot of things other than, well, goal scoring, but they're in on a lot of goals.
Yeah, you know, I would like to say, I mean, Kelly's done a really great job for us, particularly playing as a defender and then scoring for us. But, I mean, we've had a very balanced attack throughout our team. A lot of girls we've got shooters in almost every position. We're not reliant on just one person to set everything up. Even though Kelly's got the majority of our goals, we've got a few girls that, given the right opportunity, are going to put the ball away. That's been pretty useful. And what's also particularly encouraging for us is they're very young. So we have a few freshmen that are really contributing straight away, and that's hopefully going to lead us down the next couple of years.
Well, that's good that they can be that flexible, being that age, yep, and blending in that well to not only your teachings but the strength of schedule. And you know, you don't play some cupcake schedule. I mean, you play a lot of the toughies around.
Yeah, you know, when I got here, I sort of looked at it and I tried to give the girls the toughest competition we could find. We wanted to get into, we want to play the number ones in the country. We want to be able to go out and compete against you. We want to be the best. We want to know what we have to measure ourselves up against and what we have to be. And this year, we played UCLA, we played USC, kind of wish we had a chance to play Stanford. We've played Michigan as well. We've had some really tough opposition. That's really help define where we want to be and what type of program we want to set.
Well, mentioning Michigan, they have been long a rival going back just a few years when the Hoosiers got in the CWPA. It's been dog-eat-dog, and, the teams have taken turns vying for conference championships, and hopefully the Hoosiers will have that opportunity. Michigan will be at the CBAC along with the rest of the league brethren this weekend, starting on Friday afternoon. Indiana's first opponent, playing as the fourth seed, will be a fifth-seeded Harvard. We'll be back to talk to the women in just a few moments. Comments with Ryan Castle, and we'll continue along. Talking a little water polo, Hoosier style, here on a Tuesday night. Back with more. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. A water polo in our spotlight, and pleased to be joined by a couple of women who have given their all in their careers. One career is ending. Senior Captain Brownon Smith out of Pennsylvania. We'll get her hometown in a minute because I'm interested, Brownon, and where's Harleysville, PA, in the great state of Pennsylvania?
It's about 40 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
Gotcha. Senior, you're getting ready to graduate. I mentioned May flips onto our calendar on Monday, and then a few short days, and you're going to get that great degree. Talk to me a little about the academic side. You're going to graduate from the Kelly School?
Yeah, I mean, I came in here knowing I wanted to do business, had no idea what I wanted to do in it, and I kind of just picked a major to put on my application, and as I went through the Kelly School, it really fit and it really clicked that I did really want to do that major specifically, and it worked out incredibly well.
Well, you know, you've played in 24 games, but to date, but that 23rd one you played the other night at the CBAC against McKendree, that's one that I know you'll relish, cherish, use any adjective you may. Talk to me about that night. It was senior night, since you're the only senior on the squad, and you hopped out of the pool with a hat trick.
I mean, it was great. I had a lot of fun. I was able to get every statistic but one. So we just had a lot of fun with the game, and we were able to work on a lot of what we wanted to practice going into this weekend, which was another really great thing.
How'd you like it? You and Jess Goudreau are good friends because you were on the last CWPA championship team back your freshman year, you were telling me, and I remember that. But you got a little stint in goal. How'd it feel between the pipes the other night? Must have felt okay because you drilled McKendree about, 21-1?
Well, we always joke with Ryan that we'll put Jess in the field and I'll go in goal for a little bit. But it was really fun to just get in goal, get a block, and just have fun with it.
You know, I was talking just a second ago, Brownon, to Coach Castle, and I asked him about philosophy changes when he came on board. You actually began your season in September with, you know, training and what have you, start your year in January, and here you are the last of April. Much of a change? Talk a little about what you've seen offensively and defensively from that center spot that you play.
Well, one of the things I've definitely noticed is we have a lot more organized of an attack and of a defense as compared to my previous years at IU and even back in high school. But it's great to be able to learn something still my senior year and really learn and adapt to a new style of play, which I think has really helped us all grow as water polo players.
How's the team chemistry? Are you a leader of words? You a leader by actions? How have you gone about keeping the team chemistry? And talk to me about that aspect. How strong has it been with basically a new coaching staff?
I mean, I definitely try to lead by positivity, but with the new coaching staff, it helps that we're a young team and they're not necessarily ingrained in any one way of play. And it's been amazing the chemistry that we've had with such a young team and to be able to kind of meld with each other. I know there's a few girls on the team when I watch them play, I'm just going to say they're going to be scary good once they get to sophomore, junior, senior year. So it's really great to see them progress throughout the season, and it'll be great to see them the next 3 years of their career.
You know, we mentioned that freshman year that you spent and were on the title team. What are you finding out about yourself? How have you changed just maturing, first of all, in the pool, out of the pool, in school? What's water polo meant to you since you've come on board from PA?
I mean, it's crazy to think that I'm graduating and then that was 3 years
ago. Goes
fast,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it goes. But, I mean, pretty much everyone comes in from high school thinking you're the greatest water polo player or you're the smartest kid in the classroom. So to kind of have that experience where you're coming to such a great D1 program and a great school like the Kelley School of Business, I think it's really good to kind of have that, like, knock down a notch, and you really have to work harder. And I think that's been one of the major lessons that I've learned from freshman year. You can always put in more work to get even better than you are now.
Harleysville, Pennsylvania produced Brownwood Smith, who plays center in the pool for Ryan Castle. Well, how neat is it to be able to host? I know you guys, what do they still call it, the Frozen Four? You played that back in February. They call that the Frozen Four, or what do they call
that? The Fluid Four,
The Fluid Four. I'm getting it mixed up with hockey, and that was just over. My daughter-in-law was at that, covering that. But anyway, thank you. Fluid Four. I knew it was something like that, catchy. Anyway, it was your only home appearance, but the prospects now of coming back to the CBAC, playing with stakes very high. What's it mean to you? Is there such a thing as home pool advantage, and can you use that throughout the tournament?
I would say that at least for us, there's definitely home pool advantage. I mean, our stands are great. All of our friends and family and fans are going to be able to come, and it's crazy how loud the pool can get when you have all those fans. And I know our team will really feed off of it, and it'll really help us against our opponents, starting with Harvard and then whoever we play in the next two rounds. So I definitely think that we will have a home pool advantage.
Well, as I say, when May is through, you'll have been a graduate, Kelley School of Business. What's next for you professionally as you take your wares with your intelligence out into the professional world? Why you got lined up?
So I'll be working for Dick's Sporting Goods corporate office starting in September.
Wow. Now, where is their corporate office?
It's in Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right. Well, close to home and everything.
Yeah.
God, May, this has been a great thing for you, haven't it?
It's been amazing.
It has gone fast.
It
does. I talk to a lot of student athletes, and they blink twice, and, a minute ago they were just stepping on campus. Hey, the best of luck to you this weekend. Thank you for joining us, and the best of luck this weekend and in your career. That's right up your Dick's. That's great. Brownwood Smith joining us. Well, a young lady that, she just scores goals. She's been doing that. I remember when she stepped on campus as a freshman and put a few in the net, and, well, she hasn't slowed down, and that's Kelly Matthews. And Kelly joins us, and Roxborough, Quebec, Canada, north of the border now. Talk to me a little about how you got interested in coming. We talk about the diversity on this squad. You're one of four Canadians that are playing top-notch water polo here at Indiana.
Well, how I got started, I guess, I honestly wasn't thinking of coming to the NCAA at first, and I came on my recruiting trip here, and I just absolutely loved it. The athletics, the academics, just the team atmosphere. So that's how I got involved with IU. And yeah, I love the fact that our team is so diverse and that we have Australians and Canadians and Americans, and we're all still able to play together.
Well, we talk about your goal scoring ability. 73 your first 2 years, you're sitting with 76 points and 51 goals. As you've gotten older, you obviously are becoming more of a marked woman in the pool. Talk a little about how you've kind of change your, not philosophy, because you're still scoring goals, but how have you gone about, taking care of that, being marked and still coming through?
Yeah, I've definitely taken on a different role. I would say I'm more of like a playmaker in the pool necessarily, so I'm not always going to be the one scoring the goals necessarily. I'm just helping the younger kids out more and telling them how and like where they should be going and plays and stuff, so that's basically my new role on the team.
Well, you scored a few. Talk about that night when you played Iona and you popped in seven. Candace Schroeder did that a few years ago. She scored a lot of goals. In the zone, is that basically how you were feeling that night?
Yeah, I guess, but I would say my teammates set me up. Like, I wouldn't have got those goals if my teammates didn't give me the ball, so.
Well, how about playing at home? Coming back, Brownwood just talked a little about family, friends, always well-supported you guys, even in duels when you're at home. But now the entire weekend with the stakes being what they are, what are going to be some of the keys for you? Let's start with Harvard, because you got to beat them and get off to a good start.
I guess the keys for our team would be communication. We've been harping on that all year. And we just need to come out strong, pretty much, and just let it work its way through the whole game.
When Coach Castle came on board, talk about, did you see a philosophy change offensively or defensively that caught your eye that maybe you had to adapt to being as prolific a goal scorer as you've been in your career?
Yeah, like he mentioned, we're definitely more of like a driving team. Mm-hmm. So it was just a different transition because last year we had Candace. So it was very easy to get positioned. So now I even had to change up my play in a sense. So I had to keep moving and being more quicker instead of being stagnant on offense.
What's playing volleeball? What's your line of study academically? What are you
I'm in management in SPIA.
In SPIA?
Yeah.
My daughter was a SPIA major. Good profession there. So talk to me a little about the CWPA in league play. I mean, you guys, we talk about overachieving, and I'm looking at 18 wins and 5 wins in the league with a lot of young kids, Kelly. Kelly Matthews joining us from Quebec, Canada, the leading goal scorer on this Indiana women's water polo team. Is it becoming increasingly more difficult to win week in and week out against the caliber teams you're playing within the league and the CWPA?
I wouldn't say it's more difficult necessarily. Each game becomes more and more important, especially now in the conference games, so we need to win each game, I would say.
Is it USC that's got that fantastic winning streak? You had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say you just played them, but you went back over to Hawaii, or did you play them in Los Angeles?
We played them in Hawaii.
That's what I thought. And you were there in Hawaii earlier, so you made a couple of trips over there. I mean, they're a machine or what? I mean.
Yeah, well, we tested ourselves.
How many did they want in a row?
Sorry?
How many did they want in a row?
I believe it was, 52. Oh. Yeah.
So. Well, that gave you a little experience playing them and, you know, taking good positives, feeling good about this weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, we wish you the best and continue to score the goals. And we'll have the coach. Kelly's wearing the headset, but we'll pass the microphone. Kelly, the best of luck to you this weekend, and hope to be talking to you. And Brownwin Smith, Kelly out of one of the four Canadians on this Indiana water polo team. Where is Rock? Yeah, you got your headset on. Where is Rockborough?
It's near Montreal, Quebec. So
beautiful yeah. Up there. So, now, Ryan Castle, let me turn your mic up. It's a lot easier when we do that.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, sound like a commercial. So. Well, talk to me a little about what's ahead. You said you and you were an assistant at Michigan. You know the CWPA. You got to bring it every night, every afternoon. How do you see things unfolding? Let's start with Harvard.
Well, I think every tournament takes on a life of its own based on the first game. Whatever you might have some momentum coming into the tournament based on your conference seeding and so, but how you start your very first quarter is going to determine pretty much your fate throughout the weekend, is the way I look at it. We had a pretty good game against Harvard 2 weekends ago. They did some things that caught us off guard later towards the end of the game, so we've had to really focus on aspects of our game to get ready for them. But I think it's all about building momentum. You know, the opponents that we're going to face this weekend, doesn't matter at what level or where we are on the weekend, it's all about maintaining and building momentum throughout. So whatever we do on Friday, we want to build on that on Saturday and finish well on Sunday.
And it helps, like you said, you just played them out in Providence, Rhode Island, scored 7 goals and beat them by 4, and they were 20th ranked at the time. Familiarity, that has to help rather than, say, play and catch a team that you haven't played maybe for 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in our league, it's always very competitive. There are a lot of games that are very close competitions. With us, it's always difficult to beat a team twice in a row. You know, that's what I've been hammering to the girls over and over. We might have beaten them 2 weeks ago, but this next time it's a whole different story. We have to still execute our same defensive plays, and we have to be able to put the ball away when it's in our hands. If we can execute the little things, we should be okay, but anything's possible. We're not taking anything for granted. We're preparing for Harvard as if it's the world championship.
Well, and well, you respect all, fear none, and that's the way you got to go about it. If you the winner of this game will slide into the semifinals against the winner between top-seeded Michigan and the 8-9 play-in game. What game? Who's in that 8-9 play-in game?
In the 8th seed is George Washington.
Okay.
And then the 9th seed is St. Francis University from Pennsylvania.
So, hey, my man, good talking to you. Good meeting you. Heard you got a lab at home, a little puppy that you want to take care of.
A little terrorist. He's a likes to chew or break anything that he can get his paws on.
You enjoyed yourself here. I enjoyed talking to you. Best of luck, Ryan. You've done an outstanding job. My best out to Coach Carr as well. And, hey, you win this doggone thing, we'll have a little party in here and get all the women in here. School will be, you know, done, and you'll be on your way to the IU Natatorium for the NCAAs.
Thank you very much. We're definitely going to do our best, and, you know, we're going to take it one game at a time. We hope to bring back something, some silverware.
Well, that's the way we anticipate it. Hopefully things will go that way. Ryan Castle in his first year joining us in conversation along with Kelly Matthews and Brownwin Smith, and we'll continue along. We'll have a tape conversation as Chris Lemonis, only about 25 minutes away from the opening pitch in Indianapolis to take on the Ball State Cardinals. We'll have that conversation. Of course, a big series with the Big Ten league leader Maryland coming to the BART on Friday night for the start of a three-game set. We'll be back with that conversation and have lots more. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith.
Welcome back, everyone. A special taped edition of Sports Talk as we talk baseball with head coach Chris Lemonis ahead of a ball game tonight against the Ball State Cardinals at the Vic, Victory Field in Indianapolis, and what a night to play the collegiate game. And Chris, as we sit and look through this being game number 40 tonight, the ball club playing very well right now the last two series. In the books, climbing up in RPI or going down in RPI and climbing up in the standings, your club's playing some good baseball.
Yeah, we've had some this is a tough stretch of our season, so it's nice to be playing good and playing some tough baseball against some of the better, you know, top teams in the league.
Well, you know, you talk about senior leadership, and how about the table setter for Tony Butler the other night? You go up and take care of business. Lo and behold, we didn't think it would be the only run of the game, but one's plenty. When the good guys win, it was Tony's first of the year, and what a table setter.
Yeah, first game batting leadoff all year because we had an injury and decided to move Tony up there, and he turned to me before the game, can I swing at the first pitch? And, you know, I nodded my head and just told him to get a hit, and that was a pretty good hit to start the game.
You know, a lot of power on this ball club. Let's stay right there and talk a little about, hitting on pitch counts and what have you. Do you see the patience settling in right now because you got some lumber in the first five guys of your order?
You know, we do. We have some talented guys. You know, pitch selection's huge for us. You know, sure. Just getting out there and getting a good pitch to hit. But, you know, usually when we make contact and, you know, we got some professional type of hitters in there that have a chance to play for a while. And they've, you know, they've had some big games so far.
Well, they have indeed, and of course led by Craig Dedalow. I think he's right there at the top with 28 RBI going into this ball game tonight. 9 home runs, 45 home runs stroked so far by the big bats.
Yeah, it's been good. That's I guess it's the old school way. I'd like to steal a couple more bases too, but you know, we'll take the home runs. Those guys and some of these games have hit some huge balls. I mean, I think back in Minnesota, Logan had the big home run to give us the lead. This weekend, Tony, I mean, Luke Miller, I mean, we just had some big swings. Matt Lloyd, I mean, we just had some guys in there that can change a game with one swing.
Let's start right there with Logan Sowers because he's been on, well, it's been about a month now. He's been on fire. He's got 19 RBI now in his last 20. He's hitting over 300.
Oh, yeah, he just a slow start. I mean, I felt bad for the guy. It's a draft year type of thing. And he was coming off an injury in the preseason, and we all know how talented Logan is. I mean, he was our best guy last year. And, you know, my biggest thing is I'm hoping, you know, it'd be nice to get a couple of those guys hot for the end run. So,
well, now's the time, especially with you-know-who coming in. The Big Ten league leaders, Maryland, we'll get to that in just a second. And, of course, the calendar flips to May on Monday of next week. And the Hoosiers hosting the Big Ten tournament at the end of next month. Well, we talk about players, and I got to ask you a little about Matt Lloyd. Here's a man, here's a young man, a Canadian that you brought out of the junior college ranks. And not only is he doing it at the dish, but what a job he's filled in. He's your leading save guy.
Yeah, he's a a ball player, just a gritty ball player. He kind of does it all. You know, a little bit of the heart and soul of our team a little bit, I think. He shows up every day, really talented offensive player, but just the, you know, he's a position player out there pitching at the end, and he's just attacking guys.
You know, when you bring kids out of the junior college ranks up to this level and the caliber of play you see, especially on the weekends in league play, I mean, here's a guy that's hitting almost 340. Did you kind of expect that? Did you see the hitting tools, the discipline that he's shown at the plate this year, Chris?
I did. I mean, he started, I think, in the two-hole beginning of the year. He had a really good preseason. And then he had a really tough start too. So he came out of the lineup for a week or so early in the year just to get him going. And it's glad to see him back in there and having success.
Luke Miller, Hoosier kid. And you've gotten great success out of Hoosier kids. And since you've been on the job, Chris, this is your third year. The Hoosier State means a lot to you. And, boy, you've been plucking them out. Luke Miller is one young man out of Muncie. And talk a little about his play and how he's kind of elevated things here in his second season.
You know, Luke's a super talent, and it's just fun to watch him grow right now. I told him and the team yesterday at practice, he's had some big home runs. He likes to swing. He got real power. But the biggest swing of the weekend was, you know, he takes a fastball away for a two-out double down the right field line. And we talked about that, how that's his growth, because he has, you know, sometimes it's a little too much pull or too much swing. And to show that discipline, just, you know, it's fun to watch him. And then defensively, if you're watching that game this weekend, he makes a lot of good plays out there. So he's really evolving into that upper-level third baseman.
And, you know, you take a look at this talent and the numbers and now the success on the field on the weekends in the Big Ten, and you're doing it with a bunch of pups, really. I mean, they're gaining their confidence each and every game. You talk about freshman Matt Gorski, Jeremy Houston. Talk about the play of those two young men.
Those two are huge. I mean, on Friday night, they made all the plays in the last probably four innings. I think every ball got hit to Jeremy, and then Matt's making plays at first and diving and scooped a couple balls. And just, you know, they're not playing like freshmen right now. It's that point of the season, and they're giving us some good offensive bats. And I'm excited about their future.
You know, Gorski's got a little seven-game hitting streak, I think, and leads you in stolen bases. You talked about lack of. At least he's got eight or nine.
Yeah, he can run. I mean, he's very athletic, and actually probably ball comes off his bat is harder than anybody in our program. So he's got a chance to hit with a little power and be a runner too. Maybe as close to a five-tool player as we have.
We're on tape with Chris Lemonis. He's getting ready. He's already got his lineup set for tonight to Ball State, Victory Field, Indianapolis. A gorgeous night to play the collegiate game, and we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk a little about the pitching. You basically now have settled into a three-man rotation. Jonathan Stever has done a nice job up front, Hobby, and obviously Paulie Milto.
Yeah, great. You know, the three, they're still pretty young guys, but they've all had their ups and downs this year, but we're getting some really good starts out of those guys. And I was really pleased this weekend, and a lot of people think I'm crazy, but Paulie goes out and has a horrible first inning, and, you know, about as bad as he could pitch, and then he comes back out and throws us four or five scoreless innings to keep us in that ball game, which I thought it showed a lot of maturity on his part because, you know, you're playing a great team. Packed stadium, everything else, and to be able to regain your composure, he couldn't have done that last year. And so it's, you know, Jonathan Stever on Friday night throwing a complete shutout, it got it. And the one guy you don't think about, the one guy really surging right now is Timmy Heron. You know, we're using him out of the pen, and he's been great for us lately.
And he gives you a different look being a left-hander. He threw nothing but BBs when he was over at South Vigo, Terre Haute South, before you brought him over here. And he is, you know, an underclassman as well. You know, the thing about Stever I looked at going into this weekend, 40-plus innings or right at 40, only three walks.
Yeah, command guy. I mean, he handles the strike zone and everything else. And he's had a little bit of an up and down year. He was dynamite early, and then he had to sit out a couple weeks, and it's taken him a little bit to get back. But he's had some really good starts in conference play. He's had a bad one or two, but he's had some. That one on Friday night's as good as I've ever seen him pitch.
You know, we talk about a pitching staff and Coach Bunn bringing him along slowly, and you've got some other arms in there too. You've used a lot of different combinations tonight. Cal Kruger will get the ball for you against the Cardinals. Talk about your starter tonight against the Cards. Like you, they've won 21 games.
Yeah, Cal, just a competitor. You know, good stuff. I mean, he was probably the key to that Saturday game for us. You know, he threw some in that Saturday game. And he'll be in tonight's game. He'll be a, you know, we'll throw a lot of guys tonight. for the weekend. I'm sure they will too on a midweek game. But we kind of got the game, you know, split up there. But Cal come out and give us hopefully a couple good innings to start.
My good buddy Ryan Feinman behind the plate. It seems like it's been longer than just this being his second year. How has he handled the mound staff? And, you know, he's getting his swings at the plate. He's hitting a respectable 265.
One of the best catchers out there. I had an umpire this weekend tell us it's his favorite guy to umpire behind. And so I think that says a lot for Ryan. Just not only his skill level, but his demeanor and working an umpire, working a pitching staff, I think is huge. As he's back there, and he just got a good idea of what he's doing, and he's coming along with the swing. A little inconsistent at times, but some big hits for us, and we're excited about him.
Well, not to put the cart in front of the horse, but obviously we live for the weekends, and this is the time of year where you mentioned it last week before you went to Michigan. This is the time of year to win series. This would be a great time of year to continue that trend. This Maryland ball club, they're sitting up atop the Big Ten at 12-3 for a reason.
Very talented, older team, got some really frontline pitching there and some really good experienced infielders and you know, some outfielders and just some good players. They've played well. That's a big piece, and it'll be a great weekend for us. We've played Minnesota, was undefeated in the league 2 weeks ago, and Michigan top 15, I guess, last week, and so it's just par for the course for us right now. We have that tough schedule in our league this year, and you know, the years that we've had it, it's really helped us in the RPI world and everything else, and it's helped boost us into the postseason. So it'll be a competitive weekend. It'll be, you know, some really tough games, and they'll play hard.
Well, and the teams in front of you, obviously, I think you're sitting in sixth right now, but that can all change in one weekend of success and help you with that RPI, who, you know, is dropping down, which is a good sign for what lies ahead.
No doubt. I mean, it's our whole league is so jam-packed. I think Minnesota and Maryland sit up there, but everybody else is like a half game. Yeah. That's where the tie, we come back, and we've had more ties in this year than I've had my whole career. But besides the ties, you know, just of everything else, but we, you know, that postseason resume is huge. I mean, especially in the Big Ten and everything else, and it shows your whole accumulation of your work. You know, because in our league, you don't play four teams, so it's – you know, you never know what you're getting inside of our league and where you're at. And we've had a good stretch of it. And we've played well, so we're excited.
Well, hopefully with a series win against the Terrapins this weekend, Chris, the calendar flips next Monday to May. At the end of the month, you're hosting the Big Ten tournament. Top eight teams, obviously, but is there something every day, or is it in the hands of the administration now where you do something to think about the preparation, the ball yard, or are you just worrying about filling out the lineup and worrying about scoring more runs than the other guy?
Exactly. I you know, my job is to get us there. Yeah. You know, that's it. That's the side of it. We're just focused on the team. Our administration here is unbelievable. So they're taking care of every piece of it, from the bid, from when it started, and they've done it with regionals and everything else here. We just got it. We got an experienced group that's running that, and John Bauer, I got a lot of confidence in him. He takes care of every detail of that. So him and the rest of everybody else they'll have this place ready to go.
Well, this place will be packed as well, and that'll be coming up starting May the 24th here at the Bard. And Chris Lamona's joining us via tape, getting ready the Hoosiers to take on the Ball State Cardinals, and then again Maryland coming in first pitch at 6:05 on Friday night. Chris, the best of luck tonight, and obviously it goes without saying this weekend against Terrapins.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Lamonas and the Hoosiers and Ball State at beautiful Victory Field in downtown Indianapolis tonight, getting ready to start in about 8 minutes. Our employee of the week here at Yogi's this week is Sean Mulheron. So congrats out to Sean. And we'll be back to close things out. Indiana student athletes were honored at the Spirit of Indiana Showcase, the big kind of a Academy Awards night, if you will, that Fred Glass installed a few years ago. We'll be back with a few notes and quotes on that. Rundown, what's ahead on the airwaves? We do have an update from Andy Moorfield. Bloomington North is leading South 4-0. They are in the fifth inning, and of course the boys will get together over at the Bard at 7 o'clock tonight. First pitch coming up in about 7 minutes. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, to Yogi's
right here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, our home away from home on a Tuesday night. You know, the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics honored its student athletes. Everyone dressed to the nines last night. It was the seventh annual Spirit of Indiana Showcase at the auditorium. And the showcase honoring, of course, our student athletes with year-end awards from, well, the fall and on into the winter and spring. And the highlight of the evening was the presentation of the Spirit of Indiana Director's Award given out by a familiar voice here on Behind the Scenes, Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass, to a couple of student athletes that best represent the spirit of Indiana, 24 sports, one team. And this year's honorees last night honored Sydney Clute, who is still going strong as a pole vaulter in track and field, and Richard Pham, who just wound up his spring campaign for Tom Allen and will be playing his senior year in football. Clute, of course, the indoor and outdoor Big Ten champion in the vault, and an outdoor first-team All-American, and already this year, Sydney has the best collegiate mark in the nation, and she stops in the Big Ten. Clute is the Student Athletic Council president this year and is currently working towards a master's degree, and we've enjoyed watching Richard play in that secondary of the Hoosiers of Tom Allen. It was second-team All-Big Ten last fall, 17 pass breakups. He led the conference there in that statistical category and tied for second nationally. And we're expecting, and Tom and everyone is expecting big things. Fant graduated already with a degree in SPIA management back in December. So a great honor to win Fred's Big Time Awards, the Spirit of Indiana Director's Award, last night to Sydney Clute, who is going to still be making a lot of headlines with the Big Ten's coming up, along with the NCAAs for Ron Helmer and, of course, Richard Pham. We also have another award, the Big Ten, which is going to this fall commemorate its 102nd anniversary, has a rather unique tradition, and that's the Big Ten Medal of Honor. Now, the conference's most exclusive award was the first of its kind in intercollegiate athletics to recognize academic and athletic excellence. And the Big Ten Medal of Honor was first awarded back in 1915. To give you some idea, the prestige of winning this award, and the women's honoree representing Indiana, Karamia Sarigos, who's playing right now for Michelle Gardner in softball, and our men's honoree is Derek Creveston, a member of Todd Yeagley's soccer team. So Sarigos is having a great year this year. She's leading the team in home runs with 8 and has knocked out 25 in his career, and is really involved off campus in a lot of things. She'll graduate with a major in sports marketing and management, and also a minor in the Kelly School of Business, just like the young lady we had on, Brownwood Smith, playing water polo for Ryan Castle. A great award, too, for Derek Creveston. Again, the leader on and off the pitch for the Hoosiers, earning the Big Ten Sportsmanship Award last fall. Appeared in 59 matches. He was kind of the strong man. He earned 57 starts, and he's out of Atlanta, Georgia, and played on that back line, and was also a standout in the classroom, earning 3 academic All-Big Ten honors. So those were some of the honorees, the big-time honorees. They were all honorees last night. A number of student-athletes last night out at the IU Auditorium, the 7th Annual Spirit of Indiana Showcase, another fine job put on by Fred Glass and the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. Out at Andy Moore, score 4-0, Bloomington North over South. They're in the 5th. Boys getting ready to play baseball here at the top of the hour, North and South. Cougars on a 4-game losing streak, but they've lost their last 3 by 1 run. And Richard Hurt, X-ing and O-ing, getting that lineup sent to the umpire as we speak, along with Phil Klusner, the South skipper, who has his Panthers 6-5 conference Indiana game, both circles, softball and baseball. And Glass will have all the details for you tomorrow. In the Zone, David Glass, and your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. That's about going to do it for tonight, as we have Reds baseball shortly. Well, coming up, actually, it's a little bit later than normal, as the Reds look to do a little bit better than they did last night against the Milwaukee Brewers. Pre-game with Marty Brenneman at 7:30, and then they'll play an afternoon game on Wednesday. That'll be telecast, by the way, on MLB. Got that note. By the way, craving an easier way to order? Order through website, easy to find, yogis.com. You download, order through Yogi's app, text Yogi's to 33733. Again, our employee of the week, Sean Mulheron. Part of our sponsorship, Royal South Toyota, and they are our sponsor, our radio home for the Reds in 2017. For our guests tonight, Ryan Castle, Kelly Matthews, Bramlin Smith, skipper of the Hoosiers, Chris Lemonis, Joe Smith. We'll see you next week on Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WTCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's.